Today's daf is Chulin daf Samach Beis, and we will begin from the last line of daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis. So the Mishnah on daf Nun Tes, although we're still learning Perek Elu Treifos, shifted its attention from discussing the Yud Ches Treifos Shenemru LeMoshe MiSinai that would render even a kosher animal unfit la'achila, to a completely different discussion, and that is, what is it that makes an animal kosher? What makes a chaya kosher? What makes an oif kosher? What about a fish? And there too, just like with the treifa, what it really depends on is simonim. The Mishnah mentioned the simonim of a behema and a chaya. The Mishnah mentioned the simonim of an oif. The Mishnah mentioned the simonim of a dag. The Mishnah also mentioned the simonim of a grasshopper. Either way, what the Gemara is in the middle of discussing are the simonim of an oif. And the Mishnah said that simonim ha'oif lo nehu. That the truth is that if you look in the Torah, you're not going to find anywhere where the Torah mentions what the simonim of a kosher oif are. As it relates to a behema, the Torah is very clear. The Torah says, kol mafres, which in English means if it has completely split hooves, malas gera, it's also an animal that chews its cud, ba behema, Chazal said, not only behema, chaya as well. So as it relates to the simonim that make an animal kosher, the Torah is very clear. Mafreses parsa and malas gera. As it relates to oif, however, the Torah does not mention anywhere what the simonim are of an oif tar, stating that there are simonim of an oif tar. Chazal say that even though they weren't mentioned in the Torah, aval amru chacham, but the chacham mentioned them. What are the simonim? If an oif is doires, it's tummy, which means a simin tahira would mean an oif that is not doires. Kol sheyeshboy etzba yaseira, if an animal has an etzba yaseira, that's a simin of tahira. Vizefek, if an oif has a crop, that's a simin tahira. Vikurkuvani niklaf, and if it's kurkuvan, its gizzard can be peeled off, those would be simonim of tahira. The inverse, of course, is as it relates to tum. We had a whole gemara, that was yesterday's daf samach aleph. So you have four simonim of tahira, which by definition means you have four simonim of tuma. So how do you determine whether an oif is going to be tahir or tameh? Does it need all four simonim tahira in order for it to be tahir? Or to the contrary, it would need all four simonim tuma in order for it to be tameh. And the Gemara said that it would have to have all four simonim of tuma in order for it to be considered tameh. Meaning, as long as the oif has one of the simonim tahira, it's einoy doires, yesh lo etzba yesera, it has a zefek, kurkuvanoi niklaf, we'll see more about that in today's daf, those are the simone taira. As long as the oif has one of the simone taira, then technically it will be taught. How do we know these simon? It's not mentioned anywhere before in the taira. We know it midivrei seifrin. Again, yesterday's daf, the Gemara elaborated. What does it mean we know it midivrei seifrin? Because the taira mentions one of the non-kosher birds as the nesher, the eagle. Chazal taught us that the Nesher is the Binyanav, that's the one that teaches us. It is the paradigm of the non-kosher birds. And being that the Nesher, the eagle, has all four of these simonim, so we say that in order for an oif to be tameh, it would have to have all four of the simonim. Meaning if it doesn't have one of the four simonim tameh, in other words, it has one of the simoni taira, that would be enough for the oif to be considered tar. Another thing that we saw in yesterday's daf, which is important as a segue in today's daf, is that even though the Torah doesn't mention what the simoni taira, the simoni toma of an oif are, the Torah, however, singles out many, many oifas. In fact, the Torah singles out 24 oifas that are considered to be tameh. Sukkim are mentioned the end of Parsha Shmini. So when we learn Masechta Zvachim and Menachos, we spoke a lot about the first half of Parsha Shmini. Vayibayeh Mashmini, it was the Shmini Limaluim. It was the day that Nadav and Aviyu passed away, Bahakrivam, Ej Zara, and there were three Chatois, and Aharon and his sons didn't bring one of the Chatois. Amit Rabbeinu got angry, Madua lo yechaltem, Asachatos, etc., etc. So right with that, Parsha picks off, really the Kachim part of Parsha Shmini, the second part of Parsha Shmini picks up, and that talks about which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher. The Torah begins talking about the behema and the chaya, and then the Torah says that as it relates to birds, Es hanesher, ves haperes, ves haznia, ves hador, ves haayim, ves kol oirev lominoi, ves habasiyanu, ves hatachmos, ves hashocha, ves hanitz lomineu, ves hakoiz, ves hasholoch, ves hayanchuf, ves hatinchemes, ves hakoz, ves harocham, ves hachasido, ho anofo lomino, ves haduchifas, ves haatleif, etc. These are the names of the birds that the Torah says in Aladiz. Even though there's no mention of Simone Tahira and Simone Tumo, but the Torah does have a whole list of birds, most of which we're not so familiar with, that the Torah says these birds are off limits. And the Gemara said that really these birds, or almost all of them, besides for the Nesha, really should have been Tahar. Because if the definition, the criteria of an Oif Tahar is the fact that it has one of the Simone Tahira, they almost all have one of the Simone Tahira. In fact, most of them have three of the Simone Tahira. The Gemara says that the Peretz and the Oznia respectively have one of the Simone Tahira. The Oirev has two of the Simone Tahira. And all the other birds mentioned have three of the Simone Tahira. But regardless, the halach is like Xeris HaKosos, the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat them, despite the fact that technically that should be tahar. So with that long-winded introduction, Zokt Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman said, Hoyubachi ben Mishmaitzein, if somebody was familiar with birds, say he was familiar with which bird, Rashi says, specifically is the Peres, which one is the Oznia, those are two of the birds mentioned in the Torah, that have one simin tahira, stating that they're still tame. The halach is oif abab a simin echotar. So if you know what the peres and those nia are, then if you see a bird that has one simin of tahira, you're going to be able to eat it. Because the truth is, if it has one simin of tahira, it's a kosher bird. We said that the paradigm of the non-kosher bird is the nesher, it's the eagle. The eagle has no simon etaira. None of the four simon mentioned in the Mishnah and Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph does the eagle have. As a result, the only time a bird is tame is if it doesn't have any of the simon. If it would have one, it would be tame. Stating that, if you see a bird with one simon etaira, doesn't mean you can go and eat it. Because maybe it's the peres and the oznia that also only has one simon, where the Torah specifically says, you're not allowed to eat. So Rav Nachman said, if you see a bird and it has one simon, if you're bucky in the peres and the oznia, then you could eat it. You know it's a kosher bird. If, however, you're not sure what the peres and dosnia is, then you can't eat it. Because you have to be choshesh that maybe this bird is the peres and dosnia, which, despite the fact that it has a simen tyra, the Torah explicitly stated, is something that you're not allowed to eat. Tommy, if you weren't baki, behen b'shmoyseyem, and you see a bird b'simen echad, you're not allowed to eat it. Again, you have to be chayish that maybe it's the peres and dosnia. B'shnei simonim. If, however, you see a bird that has two simonim, then you're allowed to eat it. You know it's not the peres and dosnia. It has two simanim of tahira, which is more than you need, because really all you need is one simen tahira in order for it to be tahar. So certainly you would be allowed to eat it. Stating that, here too, you have to read the fine print. Fusha yaka oirev. You have to be familiar with the oirev, the rave. Because if you're not familiar with the oirev, then you have to be choshish that maybe it's the oirev. Because the oirev has two simanim tahira, and it's still mefurish in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat the oirev. It's a whole pasuk in the Torah, a short pasuk. It's Vayikra Perikid Aleph Pasik Tezvav. It's called Oirev Leminoi, period. But the Torah says very clearly that you're not allowed to eat the Oirev. So it's for that reason, if you see a bird that has one simen, if you're familiar with the Peres and Dosnia, and you can rule out that it's not the Peres and Dosnia, then you could eat it. If you see a bird with two simonim, then you would have to be able to rule out the oirev. As long as it's not the oirev, all other birds with two simonim are going to be okay. But the Gemara says, is that true? Every bird besides for the oirev that has two simonim is automatically okay. I can't even into the braisa. Oirev, it says in the Torah, say oirev. Okay, laminoi. What does the Torah mean when it says laminoi? It's called oirev laminoi. Rebbe Leza says the hobby has zarzer. It's coming to include the zarzer, which also has two simonim. And it's included in the pasuk of A is called Oirev Laminoi, that it too is considered a non-kosher bird. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, they told Rabbi Eliezer, "Vale anshin kfar tamartish of Yehuda hayu oichle noisam mipnei sheyesh lam zefek." There was a kehila of shiny yidden that used to eat it. So they told Rabbi Eliezer, "How could you tell me that the zarzer is what the Torah meant when it said that it's called Oirev Laminoi? We know they're yidden that eat it." Amalei so told him, "It's true they eat it, but afhein asidin liten esadin. It doesn't mean they're not going to give din v'cheshbon for what they do." Davarach, another version of this price is Laminoi lahavi snunus lavan. It's coming to include the snunus lavan, a different type of bird. Different Rabbi Eliezer. Amalei they told him, "Vali anshe galil ha'elyon oichle noisai." So this was a different kehila, but they used to eat the snunus lavana. Rabbi Neshe kur kavanoi niklaf. which is one of the Simani Tyra. They felt that was a sign that it was a kosher bird. Again, Rabbi Eliezer told him, Afin asitin liten esadin. But the bottom line is that how could you tell me that if you see a bird that has two Simanin, and you know that it's not the Oirev, because you're familiar with the Oirev, so you're able to rule out the Oirev, you're allowed to eat it, even if it's not the Oirev, but maybe it's the Zarzer, or maybe it's the Sununis Levana, which according to Rabbi Eliezer is also Asur Bachila, even though the Torah doesn't mention it explicitly, but it's implied in the word Eis Kol Oirev Leminoi. It's Lerabois, another bird that's like the Oirev. Why is it like the Oirev? It has two Simanim, like the Oirev does. It too is going to be Asur. And clearly from the Gemara's question, we're assuming that the Halacha follows like Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim clearly in the Braisa argue with Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara's asking a Kasher of Nachman from Rabbi Eliezer, even though the Halacha usually is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is ordinarily Shamuti. He's in Cherin, in Halacha, but regardless, that is the Gemara's Kasha, says the Gemara. You have to say Rav Nachman may be held like Rabbi Eliezer, but at the same time, what he meant was, Elo Oirev v'chol menoyev. What he meant to say is that if you see a bird that has two simanim, you'd have to be able to rule out the Oirev and the Zarzer or the Sununis Levana, depending on how you understand Laminoi. Meaning, whatever Minoi of Oirev is, you'd have to be able to rule that out as well. And it's not enough to be able to rule out the Oirev. You'd have to be able to rule out the Oirev and whatever's included from the word Laminoi. Amar Amemar argued. Amemar said, Hilchas Oif Abab Simen Echot taught that any bird that comes in front of you and it has one Simen, it's going to be Tahar. And in other words, you don't have to be Baki in the Peres and the Oznia. And it's because you don't have to be chayish that maybe this bird that came in front of you is the Paris and those things. Stating that, Amemar said, Behud Loi Daris. You just have to make sure that it's Loi Daris. If you take a look at Tosfos, Dibra Maska, Behud Loi Daris, Tosfos asks a very obvious pshat tov akasha that we won't go into. But the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, Behud Loi Daris means the simen echad that it has to have is that it's a Loi Daris. Meaning, if you understand that what Amemar is saying is that an oif had one simen, and in addition to the simen, it was also a Loi Daris. Then what does that mean? It means it has two simonim. Because Loi Daris is one of the four Simanim. So let's say it has a Simon, has an Etzbi Yaseira. And on top of that, you're telling me it's also a Loi Daris. Then it doesn't have one Simon. Then it has two Simanim. Then it's obviously not the Paris and Dazmir. So the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, Ayin Sham, is Behud Loi Daris. That has to be the Simon. But regardless, said Ameimar, that if you have an Oif, that's Baba Simon Echad, you could assume it's Tahar. Not like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that if you see an Oif that has Simon Echad, you can't assume it's Tahar. Why? You have to suspect that maybe it's the Paris and Osnia. If you're a zoologist, if you're a Baki Behebu, Bishmoiseyem, if you know all these halachas, so then you can rule out the Paris and Osnia. Therefore, you know you can eat this bird. Because the only bird that has a simen echad, that's tamei, is the Paris and Osnia. So as long as it's not the Paris and Osnia, it's going to be okay. Amemar argued. Amemar said, you don't have to be chayish for the Paris and Osnia. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Asher Amemar, Had Rav Nachman Mai. Why? L'chay Rav Nachman's right. Rav Nachman said that if you're not familiar with the Paris and Osnia, then maybe this bird is Tomei. Amalei, he told him, Leishmili. Kolema, what do you mean to say? Not Leishmili, I didn't hear what Rav Nachman said. Chabgutgehert, but Leishmili, I disagree with Rav Nachman. My ego, why? Because Rav Nachman was worried about Mishum Paris and Osnia, less than the Yishuv. The Paris and Osnia, Amemar said, we have a Messiah who doesn't live in the Yishuv. It doesn't live amongst civilized people. So as long as you're in a civilization, you're in a quote-unquote Yishuv, where you find this oif that has simen echad, you don't have to be chayish for the Paris and the Znia because it's less nahu b'yishuv. Every other oif that has at least one simen is a kosher oif, and for that reason, you'd be able to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, oif ha-mesoret, a different type of bird, kosher le-tairas mitzayro. You're allowed to use it for tairas mitzayro. So we know that amongst the very intricate process of the hira that the mitzayro had to go through, he had to bring birds. And the Bryce over here is discussing what type of birds are okay for Tyrus HaMetzayr. So Rabbi Yehuda HaMoyer said, Oif HaMetzayrit, Kosher LeTyrus HaMetzayr, V'zui Snunis Levono, Shenech L'Kobar Rabbi Eliezer V'Chachavim. And by the way, this Oif HaMetzayrit is the same as the Snunis Levono, Shenech L'Kobar Rabbi Eliezer V'Chachavim. Rabbi Eliezer said, you're not allowed to eat it. It's included in, it's called Oirev L'Minoi, just like the raven is a non-kosher bird, so too the Snunis Levono is a non-kosher bird. The Chachamim argued, the Chachamim said to a Heimish Kreisen where they used to eat it, but regardless, said Rav Yehuda, that the Oif HaMesoret is the subject of that Machloikis. Clearly, then Rav Yehuda's paskening like the Chachamim, not like Rav Eliezer, not like was Mashma from the previous Gemara, he's paskening like the Chachamim that If it's machloikis Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim, we pass like the Chachamim said the Sunus Lavana is kosher. If it's kosher, you can use it with Tyrus Mitzrayim. Because the halacha would be like Rebbe Lezer that the Sunus Lavana is a non-kosher bird, you can't use it for Tyrus Mitzrayim. Tyrus Mitzrayim obviously would require a kosher bird, and as a result, essentially what Rebbe Yehuda was saying is that the halacha is like the Chachamim, not like Rebbe Lezer, that the Sunus Lavana is not nisrabo from Eskol Oirev Laminai, it has two simanim, it's going to be a kosher bird. Amr Amemer, Amemer said, Bechivra Kreso, the Nunus Lavana that has a white stomach, kulam the big of the chai, everybody agrees is okay to eat. Keep leaking. The machloikis is but the yoreka kreisa. The one that has a stomach that's yorek, that's yellow. Rebbe Leza says it's not okay. Rabbanan Shari, the Rabbanan say it is okay. The Hilchas like Rebbe Eliezer. And he said, Amemer did that the Lochas like Rebbe Eliezer. Zucha Masni Hilchim. Zucha had a different gersa. But the yoreka kreisa, the one that had a yellow stomach, kulam the big of the aser, everyone agrees is awesome. Keep leaking. The machloikis is a bit of the chivra kreisa. The one that has a white stomach, Rebbe Leza aser. Rebbe Leza says it's aser. Rabbanan Shari, the Hilchas like Rabbanan. And in this version, the halacha is like Rabbanan. Bishlam says the Bishlam in the mandam of the chivra kreisa. Bishlam according to the gerusa that said that the snunus levana that Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim argued about was a bird that had a white stomach. Hainu diktani zuhi snunus levana. It makes sense why it's called the snunus levana. Levana because it has a white stomach. El mandam of the yoreka pligi. But the mandam that says that the machloikis is but the yoreka. But fakir, if it was levana, then everybody agrees that it's a problem, that it's not okay. If my zui is snunus levana, so l'chayra, why is it called the snunus levana? If they're dafka arguing by the snunus that's not levana, then why did they state their machloikis regarding the snunus levana? If they're arguing with the snunus levana, makes sense why it was called the snunus levana. When it was white, that's the one they're discussing. They're dafka not discussing the one that's white. And what does the braisa talk about? The snunus levana, says the Gemara, lafugi debati d'uchmasi. Apparently there was a black one. And the yellow one, although it's not white, but it's also in sharp contrast to black, regardless, it's called the snunus levana, despite the fact that they're dafka not discussing the snunus levana. Rather, the one they're discussing is the one that was yoreka. Omer Rachba, Omer Rav Yehuda. Pasul, a different type of bird, pasul mishum tyrin. Would be pasul mishum tyrin. The kosher would be kosher, however, mishum bnei yoina, as a bnei yoina. That sifi, the Torin shall rechava, as relates to the birds, atzifi, and the Torin of rechava, they're ksherim mishum Torin, upsulim mishum bnei yoina. So Rashi says that really the context of this halacha right here is a Mishnah earlier in Masechtas Chulin, a Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis Amidalf. We know there were two birds that were able to be brought as a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash, whether it was a chatas oif or it was an oila oif, so you could bring either Torin or bnei yoina. Torin are turtle doves, bnei yoina are pigeons. The Gemara said, and really it's a Mishnah, that every single time the Torah mentions Torin, it just says Torin. Every time the Torah mentions the Yoina, it says B'nei Yoina. And we learn from there that in order for a turtle dove, to be kosher, to be brought as a carbon, it has to be mature. It has to be Torin, not B'nei Torin, it has to be Torin. As it relates to the pigeon, it's just the opposite. In order for the pigeon to be kosher, to be brought as a carbon, it would have to be immature. It would have to be young. It would have to be bnei yoina. The Gemara said every single time it says Torah, it says Torah. Every time it mentions the yoina, it says bnei yoina to emphasize that the Torah always has to be mature and the bnei yoina always have to be immature. So Rechava was saying over that we know b'mesayra, b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, that there are certain birds that are classified as Torah. There are other birds that are classified as bnei yoina. L'may nafkemina, a tar is a kosher bird, and bnei yoina are kosher birds. No, the reason it matters which species they fall under is as it relates to a carbon. Because meheri yibana beis hamikdash. And if somebody's going to bring a chata sa'if, or an oila sa'if, or shnei kinim, so the halacha is that you have to know. If it's a tar, then a dafka has to be older. If it's a yoina, then a dafka has to be younger. So Rabbi Yehuda said, tussel is a type of yoina, it's a type of pigeon. Thus, pasul mishum tairin, vikasha mishum bnei yoina. Atzifi and the tairim shal rechava, those were types of turtle doves. Thus, ksherim mishum tairin, upsul mishum bnei yoina. Very straightforward. Says the Gemara, Masr Rabbi Daniel Barav Katina, kol oifos, poislam mechatos, all birds that drink from mechatos, disqualify the mechatos. And the context of this halacha is that as part of one of the ingredients of the paraduma was mechatas. You had to have pure water. It had to be water that no malacha, no work was ever done with. It's for that reason, the halacha is that if a bird sips from the mechatas that was prepared for the paraduma, the halacha is you can't use the water anymore. Why not? just because it took a little bit out, that's a reason for it to be a problem. So you have these issues with nechashim and akrovim when it comes to machkim and gulim. We're dealing with a domesticated bird. It's not depositing any venom into the water that it drank from. So why should the fact that the bird drank from it cause a problem? The reason is because when a bird drinks, so it takes some water in, and then a little bit of the water that it took into its mouth dribbles out, and it's going to end up going back into the water. That act of the water having been for a moment inside the oif, that disqualifies the mechatas. It's not pure anymore. It's considered that a malacha was done with it. That would be a problem. So it's for that reason, the Braisa says, kol oifos, any bird that sips from mechatas that was set aside, it was prepared for the paraduma, paislet, the mechatas. It makes the mechatas pas chutz min ha-yoyna. With the exception of the yoina, mepneshem by tzetzes, because the yoina doesn't do this. It doesn't dribble. What's the Gemara's kash? Im isni. Now, if you're going to tell me that the pigeon has other birds that are included in its quote unquote species that are similar to it. So, for example, when the Torah says, bring a yoina as a carbon, it's an option. If somebody's bringing a chata soif or an oila soif, he doesn't dafka have to bring the yoina, but he can bring the tussle as well. That was what Rabbi Yehuda said. The tussle is a type of pigeon. It was pasul mishum tairin, and it was kashim mishum de yoina. So then why doesn't the Braisa mention the tussle over here? We should say that any bird that drinks from the mechatas, it disqualifies the mechatas because the water is going to dribble out of the mouth of the bird. But l'chayra, you're telling me the yoina is different, but nation might say it's not only the yoina that's different. The tussle is a type of yoina. It's also different. So the Gemara's is, shouldn't it say chutz miyoyin of a tassel? I'm Rab Zeiros. Rab Zeiros said, no, zem moitzitz umeki, vizem moitzitz ve'inoy meki. It's true the yoyin and the tassel are from the same species. So as it relates to the halach of oilosoy vechatos, if somebody wants to bring a tassel in lieu of a classic yoyin, that's something that he's allowed to do, as long as it's young, as long as it's of the immature age, like the yoyin is. That was Rabbi Yehuda's member on the bottom of the yom. But at the same time, as it relates to this particular halacha, it has nothing to do with this, the min. It has nothing to do with the species. What it has to do is just physically, when it drinks, does water dribble back out or does it not? So by the yoyna, it does not. By the tussle, despite the fact that it's a type of yoyna, it does. It's makey. It spits it out. And as a result, it's going to be possible. Not halacha. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Hani kufshani tzutzaini. Ksherim legabim is bech. Rashi says kufshani is toirin. It's turtle doves, b'loshan arami in Aramaic. So in other words, the kufshani, the toirim that came from tzutzaini, Rashi says al shem mekoyman. The ksherim legabim is bech. The hein toirin shal rechava. And by the way, there the toirin shal rechava. Rechava had said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda on the bottom of daf samach beis amid aleph that the tossel is a type of yoina, the atzifi, and the toirin shal rechava are types of toirin. So there's two rechavas mentioned on the bottom of Samach Beis Amanal. Rechava da Meira, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, he was a Talmud Rabbi Yehuda. He was saying over what he heard from his Gerser Rebbe, and he said a halach about the Toiren Shal Rechava. But either way, we're discussing now the Toiren Shal Rechava. So these Toiren over here says Rashi, or the Gemara, are the Kufshani Tzutzainis. You want to know what they are? These are Tzutzaini turtle doves that share in the Gemara. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda. Rechava said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda on the bottom of Samach Beis Amar Aleph. Here we have a memra directly from Rabbi Yehuda, not from one of his Talmidim. Hani Kufshani Tzutzaini, share in the Gemara Mizbech. Vehein hein Torah Shal Rechava. Frit Gemara Meisvi, I'll ask you a kasha. It says in the Torah Ezer. We're many times. There are many halachas in the Torah that require Ezov. The Tyrus HaMetzorah required Ezov. The Pesach Mitzrayim involved Ezov. Either way, so it says in the Torah Ezov, it has to be the grass that's known simply as Ezov. But if it has any Shem Levi, meaning it has a surname, it's known as this type of grass or that type of grass, that would disqualify. Because when the Torah mentioned Ezov, it was referring to pure, authentic, unadulterated, undiluted Ezov. Once its name is diluted, it has some other name to it, that in and of itself is a riot that it's not the Ezov that the Torah is referring to. For example, Veloy Ezov Yavon, Greek Ezov, Veloy Ezov Kuchli, Blue Ezov, Veloy Ezov Raimi, Roman Ezov, Veloy Midbari, either way, Veloy Kol Ezov Sheesh Leshem Levi. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? So you see that when the Torah says Ezov, it means Ezov, but not this type of Ezov or that type of Ezov. So if when the Torah mentions Chatzav and Ezov, you have two choices. You could use either Torim or Bnei Yoina. Doesn't Torim mean Dafka, the bird that's called Torim? But the minute it has a surname or a Shem Levi, that should disqualify it. L'chayra hani kufshani tzutzaini, The Kufshani means turtle doves. Tzutzaini now already has a surname. It has a Shem Levi. So what's the difference between Ezoiv Roimi, for example, and Kufshani Tzutzaini? The Torah said Ezoiv, it means not Ezoiv Roimi. The Torah said Torin, it means not the Torin Tzutzaini, or the Kufshani Tzutzaini. That's the Gemara's Kasha, and the Gemara gives two terutzim. One from Abaya and one from Rava. Amar Abaya, Kol she nishtanu shmoi koydem matan Torah, v'ekpid the Torah olav, yesh lo shem levai, pas, v'hanu lo nishtanu shmoi koydem matan Torah. Had these turtle doves been called Kufshani Tzutzaini before matan Torah, it would have been pasal. Because when the Torah was given, it said Torah, and those were not referred to as Torah. But before matan Torah says Abaya, rest of the story, these were known simply as good old-fashioned turtle doves. It took on this Shem Levi after Matan Torah. Oh, it happened after Matan Torah. Doesn't impact the definition of Torah, because the definition of Torah is established based on what Torah meant when the Torah was given. Rava said a different teretz. Hani kufshani tzutzaini basrayu stami karlo. It's true that people refer to the kufshani tzutzaini as the kufshani tzutzaini, but that's only people that don't live in tzutzaini. What about the landsman, the people that live in tzutzaini? To them, this is just a good old-fashioned turtle dove. So being that in tzutzaini itself, they refer to the turtle doves as turtle doves, that's enough to say that when the Torah says Tyrin, it means that. I guess even in Roimi, they used to refer to Ezav Roimi as Ezav Roimi. Thus, it wasn't called Stam Ezav anywhere. It wasn't called Stam Ezav anywhere. The Torah says Ezav Stam, so Ezav Roimi is going to be excluded. Either way, Zok Gemara, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Hani Karzi, Debei Chilfi. So Karzi, Rashi says, are Chagovim, grasshoppers. The one that live in the Chilfi, they live in the amongst the rushes, Sharu, are okay to eat. The Bay Karbi, the one that lives amongst Caribs, Assyria. Also, we're going to see a lot more about grasshoppers in the coming Dafin. Ravina said, not only the ones that live in Karbi, Asir, Umalkina Lai Mishum Sheretzoi. Even get Malkus for it, suggesting that it's not only Asir Misafik. That was the emphasis. But it's also Bateris Vade. Says the Gemara of Amrav Yehuda, Tsarda Shari, the bird called the Tsarda is mutter, that you're allowed to eat. Barda, the one that's called Barda Asir, that one you're not allowed to eat. The simonech, and a good way to remember which one is okay, which one is not okay, we said the barda is the one that's aser, barmina. So barda is like an acronym, barmina, it's excluded. This is something that you're not allowed to eat. What about marda? So we have tsarda and barda. Tsarda's mutter, barda's aser. What about marda? So the Gemara says sveiko. I'm Ravasi. Shmoyne sveiko is saying, there are eight types of birds that Chazal had a suffix. They weren't sure if they're kosher or they're not kosher. The chuva, the chuga, the suga, the harnuga, the tushlami, the marda, kuchilna, the barnaf. My svekai, what was the suffix? So Mara says like this, oif is tahirin, kurkavan and niklaf. The reason is because an oif that's tar, the kurkavan is niklaf, right? That's one of the simani tire of an oif, that you're able to peel off the kurkavan. Utmeyin, ein kurkavan and niklaf. Vahani kurkavan and niklaf is akina. And these, the Kurkavan was able to be peeled off, but only with a knife. And that was the Shaila. Does that give it a simen of Tyra? Or does that give it a simen Tyra? On the one hand, it has the simen Tyra. Kurkavan and Niflach. Niklav. And that would be enough in theory, as long as it has a simen Tyra. It's not the Paris and Dosnia. That would be enough for it to be tar. The problem is, over here, it was Kurkavan and Niklav, but only with a sakin. So this was a Shaila. Lamdish a Shaila. Kurkavan and Niklav means you're easily able to peel it off. What if you could peel it off with a sakin? Says the Gemara. Is this really a Shaila? Vahi bar avza. There was a young duck, Dava Beimar Shmuel, that lived in the house of Shmuel. Dava Kamiklav Kurkavane, whose kurkavan they couldn't peel off. Va'isve b'shimsha. So Shmuel had an idea. What Shmuel did was, is he took this bird, he put it in the sun. V'kivin the rafi iklav, and the sun softened the bird a little bit, and then you were able to peel it off. So what do you see from here? That even though it wasn't easily peeled off, you had to expose it to the sun and soften it up a little bit before you were able to peel it off. But at the end of the day, you were able to peel it, and that was enough. So, what's the difference between putting it in the sun and then peeling it versus peeling it with a sakin? Don't you see from this nicer Rav with Shmuel that it's enough that as long as you could be koylev the kurkavan, says the Gemara, the hasam ki rafi iglebiyata, haf, after rafi, like miglevela, was like, it's two different stories. I mean, similar, I hear. It's a nice attempt, but it's not the same story. Over there, at the end of the day, they were able to be koil of a biyad. Once they exposed it to the sun, it came off the finger. Over here, these eight birds were never niklap biyad. Even after exposing it to the sun, it wasn't niklap biyad. Even then, you needed a sakin. So it's a different shiloh. At the end of the day, the shiloh was, is it niklap biyad? Albeit, even if you expose it to the sun, but it's niklap biyad. That we understand, there's a simon tire. For that, we have the story with Shmuel. The question is, what if it's only niklap with a sakin? Amr abayo, tarnagoylo da agma. The tarnagoil that lives in the agam, a swamp, so it's one of the eight sveikas. Which one is it? So we mentioned the chuva, the chuga, the suga, the harnuga, the tushlami, the marda, the kechil, the bar nafcha. So which one? Penashim achas. So which one is it? So the Gemara says it's mardu, vahainu mardu, omra popper, tarnagoil, the agma asir. The male tarnagoil that lives in the agam is aser. Tarnagoil da the agma sharia. The female is mutter, vesimonech. So how are you supposed to remember which one is mutter and which one is aser? Again, the male is aser, the female is mutter. Amoini v'lay amoinis. So we know, loyovi amoini v'kal Hashem. It's only the amoini, it's not the amoinis. Mayavi v'lay mayavis, rusa mayavia, perika oral, boyaz v'chulu v'chulu. But the bottom line is, asher megeila in your name was just a simen. We just know that the male is aser, the female is mutter. When it comes to the iser of loyovi amoini v'kal Hashem, the same is the tarnagoil, the male version is aser. And the tarnagolta, the female version, is mutter. Dorish Mireimar. Mireimar said, tarnagolta da agma siro. This is a very poor halacha. That even though Chazal said that it was only the tarnagol, the male version, that was aser, but the tarnagolta, the female version, was mutter. We even have a nice simon for it. Amoini v'loy amoinis. But at the same time, it changed. There was a before and an after. What Rapapa said was richtig at the time. But at the same time, Mirema said, now if you ask a rab, the rabbis are going to tell you, Tarnagolta, the agma, even the female, is aser. And the reason is, Chazyua, the darsava achlo, because they saw it clawing and eating. They noticed, they observed later, that it was a dairus. And being that it was a dairus, it's going to be a problem. And Rashi says something that Tosfos said on Daf Samech Beis Amud Aleph, which is really important. We'll speak about this more Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. And that is that even though we said that in order for an oif to be tahar, all it needs is one simen tahira, but at the same time, from the Mishnah, it's mashman Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph that an oif that's dairus is automatically considered an oif tahmeh. So even if it has the other three simanim of tahira, it doesn't matter. Once it's a dairus, it's automatically tahmeh. Regardless, that's what Mireimar said, that they saw that the tarnagolta, that agma, was a dairus, and once it was a dairus, it was off limits. Which, if you think about it, therefore would pose a little bit of an issue, because you see from the tarnagolta, the agma, it wasn't dairus, or at least we thought it wasn't dairus, and then we realized later that it was dairus. If that's the case, every kosher bird, should you have to suspect that even though, as far as we know, it has the simanim of a kosher bird, but maybe it really is a dairus? We just didn't observe it. Just like with Rapop and Mirema. They realized afterwards that it was a dairus, even though they thought it wasn't a dairus. And a dairus, for whatever reason, that's the one simen that the Rishonim, in their explanation of the Mishnah, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, which Bezras Hashem will see more about, is enough to make the bird tameh. So every bird that, as far as I can tell right now, is tameh, maybe it's really tameh. So Rashi right here quotes the Gemara later, it's tomorrow's Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis, that it's for that reason Chazal said that the only time you're allowed to eat a bird is if there's a Messiah, that it's a kosher bird. But if there's no Messiah, not. Because otherwise, you may be running into issues like this time to go to the Agma. That even though, as far as we can tell, right now, it's not a Doiris, so based on that, it should be kosher. But Chazyu, the Dars of Achl, then they saw later that really was a Doiris. Again, more about that later. Oh, my Rav said, Shavur and Darpita Shari. Perus and Darpita Asr. So they seem very similar, but one is the Shavur version, the other one is the Perus version. The Shavur version is mutter, the Perus version is aser. Simonich, so how in the world are you supposed to remember which one is which? Says the Gemara, we have a simen. V'simonich, Perus Rashi. Apparently there was a Rasha, a well-known Rasha, whose name was Perus. So Perus is bad, thus the Perus version, that's the one that's going to be aser. Amr Afuna, Bunya Shari, Parva aser. It must have been very similar. So Chazal wanted to give us a simen to know which one is mutter, which one is aser. V'simonich, Parva Amgusha. Parva was a mechashef, Rashi says, and as a result, a good way to remember that the parva, the mechashef, the sorcerer, he's the one that's awesome. Amra papa, mardu zogid va'achol shari. The mardu bird that stands when it eats is mutter. Zogid va'achol asa, the one that bows when it eats is awesome. But see, marich lo yisestacha vele el acher. That's a bad thing, the fact that it bows. Amashmul shasya chamra asira. The bird that's known as the Shasya Chamra, literally the wine drinker, is Aser. The Simonich, what's a good way to remember that? Shtuye Yayin, Psulun La Avoida. Vamashmuel, Mazga Chamra Asira, the bird that's known as the wine mixer, that one is also Aser. Bas Mazga Chamra Shaya, the daughter, however, of the bird that's known as the wine mixer is Motiv. Simonich, Yofa Koyach HaBen, Mikoyach HaAv. So the Koyach HaBen is Yofa. Kayach HaBen is mutter. The Av is also Amrav Yehuda. Shakitna, as it relates to Shakitna, Arichi Shaki, Vesumki Shari. The bird that has long legs and is red, so it's Arichi Shaki, long legs, Vesumki, it's red, that one's mutter. Vesimanich, and a way to remember that is the Murzama. The Murzama apparently was a well-known bird at the time, and it was a kosher bird, so that's a good way to remember this. Gutzi, the Shakitna bird that has short legs, Vesumki, but is also red, Asiri is also. Vesimanech nanus pas. That's halach and hilchus in the Sechus Bechairis, that if it's exceptionally short, it could be a psal. Regardless, so in this case, the one with the shorter legs, nanus pasal. Ariche shaki viroiki. What about the Shakitna that has long legs, which we said is a simen of Tahira, but it's not red, it's yoroiki, it is yellow. That too is going to be aser. Vesimanech yoroikim psulim. That was a Mishnah weir. We had it in the end of Eilat Treifas, the end of the Treifas parts of Eilat Treifas. We said that sometimes if the animal got injured and it changed, it was burnt, and then the innards changed colors, so the what was ordinarily red turned green, the halach is yoreik psulin. So here too, a good way to remember, if it became yoreik, yellowish, greenish, that would be a sign that it should be apostle. So either way, we're learning the... We missed the last few dafin, but the sugi is over here of the simanim of a behemah taira, the simanim of an oif tahara. So, you know, just to get into the flow of some of the raid with one har. That is, so we have simanim of a behemah taira. What are the simanim? So the furish in the taira. The taira says very clearly, kol mafreses paris of the shaysa shesa prosois malaskeir ba behemah oisa techelo. In short, any animal that's mafreses parsa, it has split hoofs. And it's malas geira, it chews its cud. The halach is oisa teichelo. Those are the two simanim of a kosher animal. How bad as it relates to a knife? So as it relates to a knife, it's not two simanim, but rather there are four simanim. Number one, it is an enoi dayres. It has to have an etzpe yesera. It has to have a zefek. And its korkovan has to be niklaf. Come on, we're unsure. What if it peels with a sakin and it doesn't peel? But yeah, it's exposed to the sun. Regardless, when it comes to a behemoth, this two simani taira. When it comes to a knife, there are four simani taira. Another difference between the behemoth and the knife, with the behemoth, you need both of the simanim. You need both simani taira in order for it to be tar. In fact, the Torah says very clearly, the gomo, the shafan, the arnefes, and the chazir, they all have one of the two simani taira, and the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat it. That you get malchus if you eat it. Because you have to have both simani taira. As it relates to a knife, there's shailas and this confusion, we need mesiris. But based on the ikar halacha, we say that as long as you have one of the four simani taira, that's enough for the bird to be tar. The only time it's tame is if it's similar to the nesher. The eagle is the paradigm of the non-kosher bird. So if it's like the eagle, which is doesn't have any of the simanim, then it's not going to be okay. So again, behemoth's two simanim, with an oif it's four simanim. As it relates to, do you need all the simanim or one of the simanim? There's the difference between the behemoth and the oif. With the behemoth, you need both of the simanim in order for it to be tar. When it comes to the oif, as long as you have one of the simanim, there too it's going to be tar as well. But the truth is that just like you find differences in halacha between the simani taira of a behemoth and the simani taira of an oif, there's also a big nafka mina in lumbus of what the simanim do as it relates to the behemoth and what the simanim do as it relates to an oif. The Rogach of a goyim, in Sofnas Paneach, this is in Perek Aleph Hilchas Machalos Asurois, Kler de Shaila. He said the simani taira that you find by a behem and a noif, you also find it by dogim and chagavim, but we're going to talk now about behemas and noifas. Are they a siba or are they a sermon? Meaning, is the reason that a behema that's mafreses parsa and malas geira is kosher because it's mafreses parsa and malas geira? As if to say the fact that it's mafreses parsa and malas geira, that somehow it gives it what it needs in order for it to be kosher. The Torah only wants you to eat an animal that has split hooves. Why? Kacha. But that's what the Torah wants. The Torah only wants you to eat an animal that's also malas gero. Why? I don't know. But the point is, an animal has to be mafreses parasos, shoyshas, shesah, prosos. It has to be malas gero in order for you to be able to eat it. It's a seed, but it's what makes it tahar. It's what makes it a kosher animal. An animal is kosher precisely because of the fact that it's mafreses paras and malas gero. Again, this could be from the Chukei HaTorah. We have to be ma'ayin in the Rishonim and the Moinei HaMitzvahs to understand the Shoyrish HaMitzvah, but that's not the point for this discussion. The point is the fact that they have these simonim are precisely the reason that they're Torah, because it's the simonim that make it Torah. Meaning, the simonim are the siba for why it's tar. Or said the Ragach of a Goyen, he said, maybe no. Maybe it's not that the Torah only wants you to eat an animal that's mafreses parso, and that's malas gera, because there's something chashav about an animal that's malas gera, or there's something chashav about an animal that's mafreses parso. But rather, there are kosher animals and there are non-kosher animals. There's also a very vast animal kingdom. And how is a yid supposed to know with dairy dairies which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher? So the Torah gave us kaviyach lechit chit. You have a way to know. There's a simen. There's two criteria that if an animal has these two criteria, it means it's kosher. If not, it's not kosher. But not that the malas gera and the mafreses parsa are the reason it's kosher. It's just something inherent and intrinsic about the fact that it chews its cud that somehow makes it okay for Jews to eat. That's not the point. The point is they're kosher animals and not kosher animals. The way for us to know, to determine what's kosher and not kosher, is by looking at its hoofs. By knowing whether or not it chooses cud, if it has the two simani taira, it's tar, and if not, it's going to be tummy. But the point is that the simanim are not the siba why it's tar. It's just the simit, it's the identification mark, it's our clue, our way of knowing, our cheat sheet, to be able to determine whether the animal was kosher or not. It's not the siba for why it's kosher, but rather it's the simit. That was the Ragash of a Shaila. And the Ragash of a set of Harifas. He said that really, it's chaluk, the behema, and the oif. The Mishnah says that the simani behema and the simani chaya were nemra min haTorah. But as it relates to the simani oif, loy nemra. It wasn't said mefurish in the Torah. Abel amru chachamim. It's all something that we know midivrei chacham. By the behema, the Torah said mefurish. The Torah said kol mafreses paras of the sheishah says haproses malos ger ba behema oisot toichel. It's mefurish in the Torah what the simanim are. When it comes to the oif, the Torah just mentions 24 oifes that are off limits. All the oifes that you're not allowed to eat. And from there, we learn based on yesterday's daf, a whole black gemara, that there's certain criteria. There's a binyan av. How are you supposed to know what's kosher or not? But the Torah never mentioned anywhere that it has to be not in any doires and kurkavani niklaf piyah. It doesn't say that anywhere. What it says is what the kosher is and what the not kosher are. So said the Ragach of a Goy, why is it by the behemoth the Torah mentioned the simanim? And why is it by the oif the Torah didn't mention the simanim? Said the Ragach of a Goy, because the role that the simanim play by behemoth and the role that simanim play by oif are fundamentally different. By the behemoth that the sibas. They're the reason that the animal is kosher. Being that they're the reason that the animal is kosher, they mentioned them. Because this is the Gufei Torah. This is the Halacha. This is what makes the animal kosher. So the Torah mentioned that it has to be Mafreses Parso V'Shoishah Shesah Prosois on the one hand. It has to be Malas Gera on the other hand. Only then it's going to be kosher. But by the Oif, they're not the Siba for why it's kosher. It's only a Simen. It's only a simon. The Torah didn't mention the simon. The Torah said the simon will be able to figure out. For that we have Masechtos Chulin, Daf Samech Aleph, and we can figure out what the simon is. For that we have Divrei Chacham, and for that we have Divrei Soif. I don't need the Torah to mention the simon. If it's a Siba, the Torah mentioned the Siba. But as it relates to the Siman, that was something that was not necessary. And as a result, it's for that reason, said the Ragach of a Goy, Ishloimar, it's Cholik B'Yisoid, whether we're dealing with a Behema or whether we're dealing with a Noit. But the truth is that this Shiloh of the Ragach of a Goy, Kamek Kulmasin Nishtabru, this is something that the Achroinim talk about, they're very, very Mayrachin, and just two Ha'oras that I saw in the Sefer Chavetzelos Hasharon, he has a tremendous, tremendous Arichos on this, and the end of Parsha Shmini. That is the Gemara. Way back in the beginning of Perek Eilatreifes. So literally, the first Amid of Perek Eilatreifes on the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Amid Aleph. The Pasuk says, Dabru el b'nei Yisrael leimer, Zois achaya asher toichlu, Mikola behema asher hala'aretz. So this is literally right in the beginning of the second half of Parsha Shmini that talks about the kosher and the non-kosher animals. And the Gemara was, Medayek the Loshon Zois. It's in the context of the sugya of Treifa Chaya or Treifa Enei Chaya. And the Gemara brought a brisa. Tonet v'Rabbi Yishmael. Zois Achaya Shetoichlu. Melamed, we learn from here, Shetofas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mikol Min V'Min. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took every single species of animals in the animal kingdom. The Heraloi L'Moshe. And brought it to Moshe. V'Om Aloi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Zois Achoyl. V'zoyis loy teichel. Zoyis always suggests that we're pointing to something. Hachodesh hazel lochem roish chadash. Rashi and Parash is boy. That's always the emphasis, the connotation of the word zoyis. Say Tanad v'Rabbi Shmuel melamed shetofas. Literally, Hakadosh Baruch Hu grabbed mikol min v'min v'her loy l'moisha. And I told him, this you're allowed to eat. This you're not allowed to eat. Tafla, the Chasam Sof is Rebbe, in his Pirush al HaTorah, in Potom Yofla, is Matmiya. He says, this Gemara is Tzorichin God. Doesn't understand this. Why in the world did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to take all the animals and show it to Moshe? We have Pesukim in the Torah. It says, every animal that's my friend is Parso, Vishoy Shas, Shasa, Prosois, it's Malas Gerbe, Behe Moish, of the Chelo. If it's not, then it's not okay. If it has one of them, it's before the Torah that it's not okay. So what's the issue? Where exactly was the confusion? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have to do it? Why did Hashem have to take this animal and that animal and this animal and that animal? Why was it necessary? What's wrong with the simonim that we have already in the Torah? Sashar said a beautiful lumbus. He said that the emes is, according to the tzad, in the Rogach of a Goyin's Chakira, that the simonim are a simon, but really what makes an animal is a siba, what makes an animal kosher are the simonim. So the halacha of kosher animals and non-kosher animals is that pasuk in Parashat Shmini. Kol mafreses parsa, malaskera, that's the halacha. That's the siba, that's what makes an animal kosher or non-kosher. But if you hold that it's a simon, this is a lumbus, that means that really what makes an animal kosher or not kosher is not the fact that it's mafreses parsa or malaskera. What makes an animal kosher? I don't know. It's kosher animals, it's not kosher animals. Our way of knowing if an animal's kosher or not is by using the trick. The simon is just a trick. It's like a simon, like we had in today's daf. It's just a simon. It's just a way. It's not the halacha. It's just a way of knowing the halacha. It's a way of remembering the halacha. So that's what this is. These are simonim. So what is the halacha? The halacha is, this is a kosher animal. This is a non-kosher animal. This is a kosher animal. This is a non-kosher animal. Moshe kibbel Torah b'Sinai. Moshe was mekabel the Torah. He was mekabel all the gufei halachas. If that's the case, that the simonim are magnet asimin, but the actual halacha, the actual guf haTorah was this animal, yeah, this animal not. Then it's poshid why malam yishatov as HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikol min v'min v'her eloi l'moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show this to Moshe because it was included in the Mesiris haTorah. If the Torah's vart is the two simonim, they're the sibas ha'isr and the sibas ha'heter. So as long as you say that, you just gave over. That was the Mesiris HaTorah. How do you give over the halachas of kosher animals? It's that pasuk in Parashat Shmini. Mafreses parso shayshas esa prosleis malas geira oiso toichelu. You're done. That's essentially what the pasuk is. That is the halacha. But if that's not the halacha, that's just the shichi. That's just the yofa koyich abem koyich av. That's the amoini v'loy amoinis. That's all the halachas of parva was the amgushi. If that's what that is, that's not the etzem halacha. The etzem halacha had to be given over. Where was the etzem halacha given over? It's not given over in the Torah Shabbat Ksav. You know, every animal listed in the Torah Shabbat Ksav. So where was it? It must have been halacha l'moshe v'sinai. It must have been in the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why melam v'chotav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why Hashem had to show Moshe Rabbeinu every animal? Because that was included in the Moshe Kibbutz Torah v'sinai. It was included in the Mesiris HaTorah. Mesiris HaTorah was every halacha in the Torah. And the halacha is not malaskera. That's the simen of how you know the halacha. The halacha is every single animal, kosher or not kosher, kosher or not kosher. That's Tanit B'Rabbi Shmuel. Malam Yishtov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikol min v'min. Hakol l'rabbos. Min v'min l'rabbos. Every single min. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do because it was all included in the Mesiris HaTorah of what's kosher or what's not kosher. Half of a fellow. Lomdish, but half of a fellow. Just one other ha'ara that he says, and that is the Rambam in Hilchas Macholos Asuros, this is Perik Beis Halacha Aleph. It's a very important halacha. Zok to Rambam. Michlal Shenemar, V'chol Behemim Afreses Parso, V'shoiz Shas Shes Ashtei Proses, Malas Geir Bebehemo Isa Toichlu, Shemei I know from there, Shekol She'inem Malas Geira, U'mafreses Parso, Asura. So the Rambam says, that from the fact that the Torah says that you're only allowed to eat an animal that's Mafreses Parso, Malas Geira, so from there I know that if you eat an animal that doesn't have those two simonim, it's aser. It's not okay. V'lava ba michlal asei, aseihu. Says the Rambam, u'begamol, u'bechazir, u'bar nefes, u'veshafon. What's unique about those four animals? Those are the four animals mentioned in the Torah that have one of the two simanim. Nemar, the Torah says, Acheze loy toichlu mimale hagero mafrise apars. The Torah says specifically you're not allowed to eat them. Holo madato, says the Rambam, you learn from there, Shehem b'loy sase, v'afu pi sheyesh bam simen echad. That in addition to the Isra say, there's also going to be a loisa. So let's pause for 1 second. The Rambam made a beautiful diak in the pasuk. The Rambam was pasha being mavasajra, barashashmini, perikud aleph. And the Rambam said like this, the Torah says in order for an adult to be kosher, it has to have two simanim. It has to be mafreses parsa, and it has to be malas gera. Only then says the Torah, oysa toichelo. Interestingly, the Torah never said mefurish that if an animal does not have any simanim, meaning it's not mafreses parsa and it's not malas gera that you're not allowed to eat it. The Torah just said that if you want to eat it, it has to have both simanim. It never said that if it doesn't have the simanim, then you're not allowed to eat it. Then the Torah said, achas aloi toichu, but I'll tell you what you're not allowed to eat. And the Torah mentions four animals. It mentions the camel, the shafan and the arnefes, whatever they are, not so clear, and the chazir. We know what that is. So the Torah mentions four animals. And the Torah says those four animals, being that they have one of the two simanim respectively, loy soichelo. So it's interesting, says the Rambam. The Torah said that in order to eat an animal, it has to have two simanim. Clearly implying, lav abo michla lazeh, that if it has no simanim, you're not allowed to eat it. But the Torah, for some reason, never mentioned a flourish that if it has no simanim, you're not allowed to eat it. You know what the Torah said you're not allowed to eat? If it has one simanim. The gomel, which is malagera, but parsa in a mafris, so there the Torah says, achazel loy soichelo. And the same is true for the shofen and the arnefes. The chazir is just the opposite. If it's mafris, parsa, but who gera loy yigar, and there too, it too, mipsarim loy soichelo, benevlosum loy sigo, temeim hem lochem. But the Torah only said mefurish, you're not allowed to eat an animal that has one simon, which it's missing one simon. The Torah never said mefurish that if it's missing two simonim, you're not allowed to eat it. So that's the Rambam's observation. The Rambam says, from the pasuk, it's clearly implied, but implied, that's the magic word here. Lava bo michlal asay, that if an animal has no simonim, you're not allowed to eat it. It says, achazet toichlu. You're only allowed to eat it if it has two simonim. Clearly, if it doesn't have two simonim, you're not allowed to eat it. But when it came to the gomel, the chazir, the arnefes, and the shafan, there it's mefurish, there it's not implied. There it's mefurish, it's explicit. Ach ezel loy toichu mimali agem afrizei parasa. Halomadit, so what do you see with regards to those four? That is going to be even a loy sase. And even though it has one of the simonim, continues the Rambam, here's the punchline. And this Rambam was marish olamos. Says the Rambam, if that's the case, v'kol shkin shar behemet tmei v'chayo, tmeyo, she'en bo simin klal. It's true that if someone eats either the gomo, the shafan, the arneves, or the chazer, which has one of the two simanim, it says mefurish in the Torah, achazal loy toichlu. Then if someone would eat an animal that has no simanim, it would also have the loy saseh of afazeh loy toichlu. Why? Says the Rambam, it's kolshke. Because madach, an animal that has one of the simanim, the Torah said achazal loy toichlu. Kal v'chaymer, an animal that has none of the simanim, certainly the halach is going to be that you're not allowed to eat it at all. So says the Rambam, although it's not mefurish in the Torah, that you're not allowed to eat an animal that has no simonim of a kosher animal, it's only a lav haba michlal asay, which is an asay. But really, says the Rambam, it's pashut that that's the case. And even though it's not mefurish, I know it from one of the Yudgim Umidish Atayr Nidrashus Ben, known as Kol Shekeh, also known as Kal V'chaymer. Because if the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat an animal that has one kosher sign, certainly you're not allowed to eat an animal that has no kosher signs. Ad kan divrei Rambam. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that even though there's not mefurish alav in the Torah for someone that eats an animal that has no simanim, but at the same time it's poshet that it's included in what the Torah said, achrezel lo yisoichlu, when the Torah chazes over me, psorim lo yisoichelu, ubenivlasam lo yisigo, tmeim heim lochem. Why? Because the Torah said that an animal that has only one of the two simanim, achrezel lo yisoichlu, me psorim lo yisoichelu, kavachaymer if it has no of the simanim. Freik the Magid Mishnah, what kind of kavachaymer is this? Kavachaymer 101, ein mazirin min adin. Kavachaymer 101, ein oinshim min adin. The Rambam is saying that if the gomo and the chazer and the shafan and the arneves have a loisase, even though they have one simon of tahira, kavachaymer if there's no simonim of tahira. It's very nice kavachaymer. It's a back of the envelope kavachaymer. It's the easiest kavachaymer. But at the same time, Frank the Magid Mishnah, there's a rule. Ein mazirin min adin. You cannot learn a loisase from the mid of kavachaymer. Kavachaymer is limited in its abilities. We have halachas that govern the laws of kavachaymer. And the most basic law that governs kavachaymer is ein mazirin min adin, ein oinshim min adin. So freik the Magid Mishnah, what's going on over here? What's going on? What happened to ein mazirin min adin? Says the Magid Mishnah, tremendous insight, and this is quoted by the Achronim throughout Shas, and that is, that being that over here, Although it's true, I'm using the kavachaymer to learn aloisase for an animal that doesn't have any of the simanim taira. But what would be without the kavachaymer? It would anyways be aser to eat an animal that has no simanim taira. Because even though it's not mefurish in the Torah, you'd have the lav abba michal aseh. So being that it's aser anyways, lefi she'elu kfar nesru be lav abba michal aseh men ha-Torah bebiur, ve'kivan she'kein, being that it's aser anyways, efshel lelav shelahem lavim be'kal v'chayim. When is there a loch of ein mazir min adir? That's if without the kal v'chayim, I wouldn't even know if it's mutter or aser. So the whole chiddish of the iser is learned on mikal v'chayim, al zeh nemar ein mazir min adir. But if I anyways know the iser, I just have an iser aseh. I want to use the kavu chaymer now to give me a chaymer to tell me not only an asay but even a lois asay that it's an azara. For that already, I'm allowed to do. So being that over here, an animal that has no simanim of tahira, anyways, would have been asar. It would have been asar mitzad the isra asay. And it's true, the Rambam says it's only a dik, but at the end of the day, there is a lava bam lichlal asay. So that's enough of a basis to say that once we establish that it's already aser, now I could use a kal v'chomer to tell me that not only is there a lav abo michlal aseh, but there's going to be an azara as well. And it's not a contradiction to the halacha of ein mazir min adin. Beautiful Rambam, is very important. This is the sugi that we're learning. This is a good yisoy from the Magen Mishnah to hold in tash. However, in the Chavetzelos Hashar, he said, but I have a different problem with the Rambam. What's the Rambam's kal v'chomer? The Rambam made a kal v'chomer. The Rambam said, this is a very long Hashar, and we'll end with this, that madach, an animal that has one of the two simonim, is aser b'loy saseh, if somebody eats from it. Kal v'chomer, an animal that has none of the two simonim, should certainly be aser. So he said, if the way you look at the simonim of a kosher animal is as a simon, not as a siba, why is an animal that has none of the simanim more usr, so to speak, than an animal that has one of the simanim that we can dine a kol shekein and we can dine a kavu chaymer and we can have a festa magid mishnah about ein mazir min adin? L'chayra, what's the difference if it has one simon or if it has no simanim? At the end of the day, the simon is nothing. The simon is neither here nor there. The whole point is that if it has the two simanim, that's our way of knowing that this is a kosher animal. Why? That's just the chichi. That's just our way of knowing it. But the arith nasal of ne'adam, we as human mortals live on this earth, we have to know what's kosher and not kosher. So the Torah gave us a way of knowing it. Not that there's anything intrinsic to the fact that it's mafris parsa and malask. It's just our way of knowing it. So at the end of the day, how do you know if something's kosher? It has two simanim. If it doesn't have two simanim, it's not kosher. It doesn't matter if it has one simon or zero simanim or one and a half simanim or one and two thirds. What difference does it make? At the end of the day, either it meets the criteria or it doesn't meet the criteria. Either I can tap into the amoyni v'lei amoynis. They're very similar. One's the tarna goylo, one's the tarna golto. I understand, but one is good, one's not good. At the end of the day, who cares if it has one? Why does one simon better than no simonim if all the simonim are is a simon? Right? If, however, the simanim are not merely a simon, if they're a siba, so it comes out that an animal that's a malas gera, that gives it some level of kosher. It does something intrinsically to the animal. I'm allowed to eat it precisely because it's malas gera. I'm allowed to eat it precisely because it's mafris parasa. Says, Okhtiramam haflav a fella. If that's the case, maldach, an animal that has one of these simanim, means it has a little bit of kosher. It has a chatishir, but it has something. It has something that physically makes it kosher. The Torah says, "Achaz aloy teichlo," and the Torah says, "Mipsarim loy teichelo bin of lasam loy sigo tmeim him lachem." So, kal v'chomer, an animal that doesn't have any of the simanim of kosher, certainly should be included in that lois asay. If the simanim are a simin, then l'chayra there should be no milo to having one of the simanim versus having no of the simanim. If, however, the simanim are a simba, then it comes out the simon does have intrinsic value. Then you can hear the Rambam setup. Zok the Rambam, that I hear madach, an animal that has one simon. It's a shtickle kosher. Doesn't matter. As it relates to the loisase, there's still going to be a lav. Kol shekein zok the Rambam, kal v'chomer, if it has no simanim, ayeh mazir min adin. For that we have the Magen Mishnah. Either way, what started off as the Rogachov of Goyin's Chakira, and the Rogachov said that it's a chilik between a behemoth and a knife. That's why by the behemoth the Torah mentioned specifically the simanim by a knife. The Torah didn't. Could be we could bring rayas this way and that way, depending on some of this rate.